Pray. Heavenly Father, we want to again thank you for the privilege of your presence, Lord, and our knowledge of it by divine inspiration. You gave through a prophet perfect vindication. We know that you're here, the pillar of fire here, having brought us the message to raise the dead, to lead us into the millennium, via the remarkable rapture, the wedding supper of the Lamb, all those things, Lord, we lay upon you, and we thank you for your presence. May your presence be felt now through the word of yourself, Father, your own spirit quickening each one of us to the truth. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're on number 6, I believe, of Jezebel religion, and as we were studying Jezebel religion on pages 11 to 15 last Wednesday, we found Brother Branham setting forth that it is this worship of Baal established in Israel by a woman, Jezebel, who represented the religion of Baal and manipulated her husband Ahab, the king of Israel, then brought about God's judgment upon Israel, but not before a confrontation by his prophet Elijah, who had thus saith the Lord. So you're looking at the parallels, Brother Branham said, that there is a religion that was true to begin with, went completely adrift, changed her husband for some other husband, and of course that was the religion of Baal back in that day, and God, of course, had a confrontation with the prophets before they were, Israel was brought into judgment and into captivity. You'll notice that how it was that in the beginning, God led Israel out of captivity into freedom, and then when they sullied themselves and turned from God, then God led them back into captivity. And, of course, there was just a little remnant who escaped by reason of the fact that they were the elect of Almighty God. Then Brother Branham went further. He elected this election of President Kennedy, which was an election of an American Roman Catholic president called John Kennedy, and he adamantly blamed the Democrats, especially Pentecostal women and other women, Pentecostal women, for their votes that put Kennedy into the White House, where the Roman Catholic religion of Mariolatry would rule and destroy this nation and forever corrupt her so that she would never rise again and would be forever destroyed, and would also at this time destroy any missionary effort which she might have for the gospel. Now, you notice in America parallel perfectly, because God led Americans, which is now the American people, out of Europe from their bondage, which was not so much political as it was Roman. And you notice the Roman Church put the emphasis upon politics, so that even at the time of Luther, except for that had been the grace of God which gave Luther the German freedom by the armies, Rome would have gone in there with some other baron or bishop or count and would have attempted to destroy him. But he had the power of much of Germany behind him at that particular time. Now, Brother Branham mentions the turning to Mariolatry. Now, what you see in Mariolatry, said the wicked woman that rose up in 1931, which was beautiful but very, very hard, would be the Roman Catholic Church, which he identified. We read that in page 14, paragraph 66, how that was Mary. Now, you will notice that there are two things about Mary the Roman Catholic Church brought up. Number one, that Mary was sinless, which, of course, we talk about then the Immaculate Conception. Now, most Protestants and even some Catholics have an idea that the Immaculate Conception simply means that Mary was a virgin untouched by man. That is not true. It means that Jesus Christ was not born in sin on the grounds of his mother Mary. Now, that's impossible because you can trace Mary right back to David, and there was hardly a man who had so much that he had and yet was as corrupt. He was an adulterer and a murderer and the whole bit, which doesn't lessen him in the sight of God. It's just that that's the kind of thing that's produced in the flesh was since man turned away and got involved with the serpent seed. Another thing, of course, is they believe that Mary is ascended. So therefore, I think of Pope Pius XII against the wishes of the Catholic theologians and everybody else, but they had to listen because they're locked in. The Pope is right even when he's wrong, and they know he's wrong. Well, that means you got to drink poison if the Pope says so, and they drink poison. See, that's the Roman Catholic Church, and you have to admit it. There's no way you can get around it. They've been that way for centuries, and they're absolutely unbending. Now, You put Mary with the sinless conception, immaculate, and you put her risen, who needs Jesus Christ? So therefore now she intercedes. And in spite of the Roman Catholic thing, all right, look, we believe Mary is the mother of Jesus. But they go further in their understanding of Mary, the mother of God. Now, come on. God doesn't have a mother. Or the mother is God. That's why you got feminism on the rise, and then you got this business of worshiping a goddess. Who knows what's going to happen? The whole of America and the world is going to have to come into some scheme of Mariolatry, because that's what this Pope is dedicated to. And he's already said he's going to be the moral force and take over the whole world in order to help the people, and he's dedicated to Mary. So Mary is sinless, and she's risen in a glorified body, so who needs Jesus? And this is going to be very, very convenient, because nobody wants him anyway. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. So you see, the whole thing is coming together. Now, as under Ahab, there became a rapid changing of laws that were once based on the Word of God, so it is in America. Man-made laws now supersede God's laws. And, you know, you realize that that President Abraham Lincoln, a fine man, he said, government is of the people and for the people and by the people. And, hey, that's putting it exactly right, but where's God? Well, it's got to be through people that are of God in order to have the blessing of government of the people, by the people, for the people, because that isn't the Word. The Word of God, essentially, as Brother Branham said, was a theocracy with a prophet. And they blew it. See, that's what he gave them under Moses. And Moses merely reiterated the Word and led them to the place where they get the definitive revelation of the Word, whereby they were fit citizens to live in this land and become the rejoicing and the marvel of all nations. Like when the Queen of Sheba came. Was it mine? There's nobody told me to have. Here's a man, and if he's not in touch with God, you tell me who is. See? But now what have you noticed? The people so anxious to keep state from government and government from state, enunciated a constitution which could only fail and lead in Laodicea, which means people's rights. Now then, you see the after play and the in play. Now the people are telling God. God doesn't tell anybody anything anymore. Now they pretend it is, but it's not. See? So, now all the nation has become gods. Ye are gods. Why? Because the word of the Lord comes to them. So now they've instituted a religion where the Pope says, I am the mouthpiece of God. We speak with the assured voice of Almighty God. We are the Word. We are it. That's Jezebel religion. Now the reason Kennedy got in was because he was judged an astute politician and a good future leader, which is all of a carnal mind concept, which is Satan's Eden, rather than judge his spiritual condition and his spiritual values and morals. Now, they didn't care about him. Any other way than to say, listen, he's going to make a good president, and that's what we need. Which means what? The dollar bill. Now, Brother Branham emphatically said, thus saith the Lord, there'll be a persecution of the church, and by this church, now that she is in control. Never mind who the figurehead is. Jezebel is running it, and an idolatrous church brings an anti-word faith. All right, now America, like Esau, sold her birthright for a mess of pottage. Now you can read that over here in Genesis chapter 25. Now remember, ever since the Great Depression, there has been a constant fear of the return to poverty, which is abominable when you understand in the Great Depression, the solution they had back there was if you had two chickens, you kill one chicken and burn it. Because all you got was 25 cents apiece for the two chicken. Now, what you can do is kill one chicken or don't raise it and sell it for 50 cents. Now, the shirt manufacturers are stupid. So instead of selling two shirts at 25 cents apiece, He doesn't make one shirt, and he sells one shirt for 50 cents, and now the person has one chicken and one shirt instead of two chickens and two shirts. Because, you see, people didn't have any food, though there was wheat. Now, they could eat their wheat, maybe get dysentery or something, I don't know. I know some people did in Canada. You see, they never believed God. So they put politics ahead of the word, and politics is based on physical welfare, which resolves itself into a dollar bill. Because without a means of exchange, you simply aren't going to get off the ground. All right, now here's a tough time way back here in Israel, in Canaan land, promised land of Abraham, 25, 27 to 34. And it says, the boys grew, Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Now here's your farmer against your hunter. Here's your Christian against your Nimrod. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. One was a vegetarian, one was a carnivorous. One was a herbivore and a carnivore. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came into the field, and he was faint. He couldn't get any deer, see? And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day your birthright. And Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do me? In other words, when the pressure was on, and there was a financial depression in the land, this one fellow says, I've got to eat to live, so who cares about God? Who cares about anything that God's going to pass on to me? In other words, if I'm dead, what good is the land? So you see, now there's a struggle of existence and the denial of the land and the morals and everything else. And Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage and lentils, and he did eat and drink, and he rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. So America despised what God did for her and what was her by inheritance and the plan of God by turning away from the religious freedom and taking President Kennedy. Now that's the start of the whole schmozzle, whether you want to believe it or not. Not that it wasn't festering in the cesspool that was there, but this is the beast rising up out of the land. And she gets her rise through her headship, the front man. Now remember, there's always a front man. There's a doorman that's usually a bouncer. And he's going to bounce for somebody. And he's dispensable. But the guy behind's not dispensable. He's indispensable. Now we go to the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and we read again, 16, 17. Lest there be any fornicator. Now that's a tough one. Or profane person. And Esau was in that category. Who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Now, remember the fornicator is in 2 Corinthians 11 chapter. The woman pledged to another before she gets to her husband. She is in sin. Now the fornication was through the mind. So Esau turned down the promise of God for a morsel of bread. He turned in the spiritual for the physical, exactly what he did. Here's where Satan's Eden started. All right. For we know that how afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Now, when would he have inherited the blessing? At the time the Father passed it on to him. There's no way he could ever get it. Now, you understand there's millions of people who say millions now living will never die. They are waiting for the appearing. They have missed it. They're going to be struck in the great tribulation and die as cannon fodder. Right at this particular time of the appearing, they say, where is the appearing? Where is the presence? Where is that fulfillment? And they can't have it because they put the appearing as the rapture. And the appearing is not the rapture. It precedes the rapture. That's why if you really believe the truth here this morning, you're scot-free. You accept and understand your deliverance. You know the conditions. You see, I'm a part of it. Otherwise, you have denied your inheritance. Now, this man sought it. He cried. There wasn't any way to get it. There was no place of repentance. He sought it carefully. It was too late to go to the books. Brother Branham said there's going to come a day when they say, well, shouldn't this have happened? Shouldn't this have happened? He said, yes, it already happened and you turned it down. Now, repentance means change the mind. People will change their mind about the appearing of the rapture when they start burning with the persecutions and the power that comes by nature upon them. And they'll all give their lives, hunted down just like dogs. They'll be destroyed. Where is it? Where is it? Well, already it was, and you missed it. That is absolutely Bible history. Adam and Eve, in the presence of the tree of life, immortality turned it down. Fresh from the hand of God turned it down. Now, what about this generation 6,000 years later? Well, come on, it's Laodicea people's rights. America exactly like Israel. She did it alike. She has corrupted herself. Now, let's go and find the word corruption. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and in verse 16, lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, or beast that's on the earth, a winged fowl, and so on. What is he saying? He's hitting Roman Catholicism, who right now is taking Mary. I don't care what they say. They're 100% Antichrist. I know people get shocked. You're right back to the kind old priest. You're right back to the handout. You're right back to the nice person. Jesus was the nicest person ever. He was the only one that lived the Word of God. He was the substance, the essentiality of God in a human being. He was God, and those that saw Him saw the Father, though He was not the Father, He was the Son. But the Father dwelt in Him. They didn't like Him, because He bastard religion. He even took up thongs and bashed them on the back and cut them up and got them out of there, kicked their butts out. Paul stood up. He defied Peter from Pentecost. Oh, nobody likes those kind of nice people, because they're not nice anymore. Mary's a whole not nicer. Why, the Catholics got their feet on wedding at Cana. He said, woman, what have I got to do with you? But the Catholics say that really means and says, woman, ask me what you want and I'll do it. Go on, look at the Bibles, how they corrupted it. So, command ye me concerning the works of my hands at Pentecost. Now, command God. Command. Well, go ahead, some of you command God. So, I'm not Pentecostal. You better look out. You just might be Pentecostal saying, you're going to command God. What are you going to command God? How are you going to tell God anything? Brother Branham said, you ain't got a thing coming. See, they blew it back there. And they've blown it today. They are right into idolatry. There is no place where you're going to associate anything made by man with God. And see, I'll look at that. People say, we look at that and worship that. You've got to be nutting a fruitcake. I told the man right to his face, they say, you're not Jesus Christ. You're not my Savior, though I love you. You didn't die for me. And of course I wouldn't worship Him. Ha! Who's William Branham to be worshipped? I'd sooner go back to David. Why? I'll tell you one thing. Brother Branham couldn't give the original word. He could interpret and bring it all together. But David, even in his condition, he brought forth some original word. Because a prophet doesn't only foretell, he forthtells. When you go back and worship Moses or Paul. No, sir, you worship God. And you're allowed the worship of Jesus by virtue of the fact that God has extolled Him for what He did and given Him a position whereby every knee should bow and call Him Lord. Now, what are people doing talking about Mary or anybody else? Even William Branham. Forget it. There is no great one. The one that's in our midst is the great one. And we don't have any images or anything to work with. Hi, Deuteronomy 24:25. When thou shalt beget children, ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image, or likeness of anything, shall do even beside the Lord thy God, from thee. I'll call heaven and earth against thee, and you'll perish, and so on. Now, it's right in there. It's not that God says, I'm just going to curse you guys because I got a problem with you. And I'm not going to bounce you around because I hate you. He said, this is what you will bring upon yourself. And they did it. And the land rejected them. So will America and the rest of the earth reject the people that fall into this trap willingly and knowingly because they've sold out for a mess of potties. That's why Brother Branham warned. You can belong to the unions now, but don't you dare belong when the Catholic Church takes over. Oh, somebody's too righteous. Oh, I won't belong, you see, because you're an ass. Spiritually jerk, bankrupt idiot. You think you know more than the prophet. You think you know something. Shut up. Amen. Veil your face with this because you're full of shame and disgust. The prophet said it was okay to appoint. Then it's okay to appoint. Amen. And that points you back away. We got too many nice people here this morning, maybe. Nicer than Brother Branham. Out God, God. Out Jesus, Jesus. Out prophet, the prophet. Out spirit, the spirit. Out word, the word. Now that's real legalism. That's real jerky legalism. That person doesn't know any more about God than the Brother Man said a Hottentot knows about an Egyptianite, whatever that is. I just agree with him. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 9. 12 to 14. The Lord said unto me, rise, get thee down quickly from hence, for thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt, corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made a molten image. And furthermore, the Lord said unto me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them, blot out their name under heaven, and I'll make a nation mightier and greater than thee. Now remember, at the end time, they not only have Mary Olatry, they have the golden calf. Because this man has already said, I am not spiritual, I am moral. I am geopolitical. And the world is looking for a moral, geopolitical man, and the moral man says, look, I'm above corruption. I'll take over and see that politics and finances and living is no longer corrupt. And they say, hallelujah, Popey boy, we're right with you. And with any church that'll do it. And today the Roman Catholic Church is the conscience of the world. If you don't believe it, go down to Abyssinian places and find out where care packages all go. The world system of churches. Wait, you wait. I'm reading my little articles. I'll be reading them. Okay. As it says in here, I'll destroy them. I'll make a nation greater and mightier. And I'll do it through you. And that actually took place. And it's taking place through Jesus Christ our Lord, because Moses stood in the breach and he said, Lord, if you destroy the people, destroy me too. So Moses kept through the word and the power of God that little people. We're going to do the same thing through Jesus Christ and his God's wonderful presence here to bring the people to the promised land, our millennium. We're going to make it. Don't worry. Now listen. Let's go over here to Malachi. Now, he said here, the verses I read up here, with that we go to Malachi chapter 4. We don't have to even read it. You all know it. That's speaking of the end time. And he said, the day, behold, the day cometh and it burneth an oven, and all the wickedness shall be stubble. That day shall burn them up, said the Lord of hosts, and so on. But unto you that are the children of God, the Son of Righteousness is going to rise in his wings, and so on, to fear his name. And then it says here at the very end, behold, I'll send you Elijah for the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he'll turn the hearts of children back to the fathers. Now that's the promise for this hour. So here we see here, the church having completely corrupted itself through the world church systems, especially the Roman Catholic, because they make the empire that was dying and comes back. God sends us a man at the end time who is able to get us away from the worship of dead saints, Mariolatry, idolatry, and adultery and fornication and begin to understand there's only one true mediator and one true intercessor, and that's Jesus Christ the man. And there's only one hope in this earth, and that's God himself come down in the form of the Holy Ghost to do his will. Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 31, 28 to 29. All right. Gather unto me all the elders of your tribe, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord and provoke him to anger through the works of your hands. Now it tells you right there that these people will not be satisfied with what God has done and how he's done it. And they're going to start meddling in the whole thing, and they're going to corrupt themselves. Now, that's exactly what happened to the time of the Garden of Eden. She corrupted herself with the satanic influence. And that's what happened in the first church age, and Paul admitted it. Now, today, the corruption has run its course, so the people are completely corrupt. Now, the Bible says, by reason of sin, the earth is corrupt. That's why you had a flood. Now, what do you think you're going to have today? You have corruption through mankind, which reaches out there and corrupts the earth. Now, Israel was told to rest the land every several years. Every 50 days of Jubilee. Let everything go free. Trust God. Go up to peace three times a year. It was laid out how they were to conduct themselves. But the church, having turned from the spiritual things that God gave them, they began meddling in the physical, and the physical responded as it had to respond, because there's a curse on the earth every time man leaves the Word. It's right. Now let's get this back. You and I are part of this earth. Now you think for 1 minute you can corrupt these bodies, part of the earth, and not get AIDS and syphilis, everything else? Oh, people got an idea, hey, it's all right, and the doctors won't tell you the truth. But you know something, if I've got TB and I sneeze, and you get in the path of those little tiny infinite, the little droplets in there, you can get TB. One of them, if you've got AIDS. Has any doctor said that, told us all, that the absolutely AIDS lie in the fluids, and in the nose is fluid? Come up here and I'll sneeze on you. You don't know if there's fluid or not. I even talk fluidly at times, which means I... It's not in my saliva, then why they say don't kiss? Are you going to tell me that sneezing is not able to bring you AIDS? I tell you, somebody's lying. There's only one promise to God's people. 1,000 left hand, 10,000 fall to the right hand. It'll not come nigh thee. That's to the elect. But you can't think you can mess around out there and not get it. And if you're doing this, I'll show exactly what you are. Part of that rotten world system. That's exactly where it is. Now, after the great men of God in Israel, they turned and did what Moses said they would do. Now, let's go to Ezekiel. The 28th chapter, verse 17. Here's what he says about Satan. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I'll lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Now, notice, pride came in because of beauty, which has to do with what this individual did about himself further than what he was in the hands of God. Just like John wondered at the Roman Catholic Church and the world church at the end time. You've corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. In other words, you were such a startling figure, and you cut such a swath, that you got lifted up, and you deserted God by reason of leaving his word to begin with. And that's exactly what's happened. There is no wisdom of God today. There is nothing but human meanderings of the mind based upon reason, which is Satan's sanctuary, Eden. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitudes of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy trapping. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I'll bring thee the ashes upon the earth in the sight of them that behold thee. Now that's, and it says this is again, you'll notice Revelation chapter 18, it'll be the atomic bomb Russia hitting her. And it'll hit Rome and knock it plumb out. Hitler wouldn't do it, and nobody will do it, but Russia will do it. Now Russia's getting a squeeze on her right now, which could necessitate a change of government, and if it does, it's going to take the army to do it. Absolutely. World affairs are shaping up today, and you'll notice I don't care what Russia does, pressure can be put upon her from all the other nations, and she'll stand there gagged like everybody else. But it doesn't mean there can't be changes. Now, I already told you that this, what we saw here, happened in the first church age. Absolutely did. Paul mentioned it. They got into fornication, into adultery. They got the wrong, they left their right mate, went to the wrong mate, and he says, Satan has tricked your mind, so therefore we see how this process has always worked through the ages. Now, I'm cutting things short here on purpose. And in 2 Peter. Now notice, 2 Peter, 2nd chapter. But there were false prophets among the people, even there shall be false teachers among you, who probably shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now what does this mean? This tells you positively at the end time there's going to be a vindicated prophet. After him will arise teachers denying what that prophet said, and even those that sat under his ministry changing it. This will bring about the quick destruction, which means the end of the world. Because Peter speaks of it, dissolving. This is where white throne starts. Right in here. Notice, and many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of whom the way of truth be spoken of. And through covenants they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, selling the souls, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and damnation slumbers not. For God spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down to hell, during them to change of darkness, be reserved unto judgment. Spared not the old world under Noah, and so on. And turned the cities of Sodom were upside down, and so on. He knows how to deliver the righteous from punishment, which he promised to Abraham that he would do. But notice here. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous, self-willed are they. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. They speak against Brother Branham. They don't have one bit of trouble lying about him. Whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not a railing accusation against them before the Lord. But notice, these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Now what is their corruption? They listen to the false teachers. And you can't have a true teacher unless you've got a vindicated prophet so the true teacher knows what to teach. And the true teachers, that's all part of the fivefold ministry. They shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. The reward of unrighteousness. That's destruction for being unrighteous. He that's righteous, righteous, shall be filthy, filthy still. When the seals are opened. As they come to pleasure to riot in the daytime, spots the arm, blemishes, spoiling themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Then way down here in verse 19, and while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. What corruption? They're the servants of a word that can't do anything for you because you've got to be born. Let me read it here. Over here. Peter, 1 Peter 1. 23, seeing you purified your souls and obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corrupt seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God lives forever and abides forever. Now they try to tell you we got eternal life, you're going to go in the rapture, this, that. But they've turned down the living word of God, and they have been corrupted by the word that they teach. So corruption starts in a corrupt word. Now where's your corrupt word for AIDS? Oh, sex is fine. Teach the kids how to have it. Hey, you don't have to have marriage. Go right ahead. You're unfettered. It's all great. And we got, My Bible said, don't you dare do it. If you're going to have sex, you have it when you're old enough to get married. So they want to blast themselves to hell. You think I'm going to stand back and cry? You got to be nuts. I never ran whoring around the country. Think I'm going to excuse you? Tell Brother Bale, that's you. Us poor guys. Poor guys, my foot. Poor guy's my foot. You asking for it. You get it. Don't come to me. And don't go belly aching to God. See where corruption comes from? Don't believe the word. Kids snot off and turn against their parents, against the church. Defiant. I've watched some of you here know how you defiant you are. When you get caught in your own trap, don't come sniveling. Go to your parents. They let you do it. Some of you got an awful nerve. I don't know how you do it. No, before God I say no. Corruption. Corrupted word. These men corrupted themselves. They let the barriers down. And the first church, they corrupted themselves. They allowed a young man, I believe that's the way it was, to have his own stepmother because she was young and the father evidently wasn't too capable of those things. And they stood by and said, it's okay. They were talking in tongues, dancing, spirit, everything else, shouting and having a great time. No doubt prophesying goofy things. Come on. Gone full scale. Only going full scale, the overseeing church, which is a Pentecostal Corinthian church, has really gone full scale. As long as you talk in tongues, you got it. Is that a fact? Show me the Bible. My Bible says different. The Holy Ghost is not in gifts. Gifts are a product. The conduit is the Word. And the conduit of the Word is prophet. And it goes to the other conduits, which are people. That's how you pile word upon word and get really full of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, how about if I quit certain habits? That's great, but that doesn't mean a thing to the Holy Ghost. You follow right down the line we're seeing here. That Holy Ghost in there is going to stop you from all this junk here. All right, now listen. Where does that take us, this end time? Now it says it's better they never known the way righteous it, because the end is worse than the beginning. They're now the true proverb. The pig goes to the wallow, the sow to her mire, the dog to the vomit, the goat eating garbage in tin cans, which he really doesn't, but that's the story. What do you got over in here? Hebrews. Hebrews 6, the end time vindication. Paul said, go to perfection when the word of God is fully delivered to the people. He said, I can't even tell you about Melchizedek. Paul was stopped by the people's immaturity from preaching what Brother Branham preached. Melchizedek, who is he? What's it all about? Couldn't do it. Now at the end time, when they're ready for mature meat, they can't. And he said, I'm hoping in my day we'll see it. We'll go to perfection when the whole word is out there in the open. The whole revelation, the seals, the whole bit. He said, we'll do this if God permit. He couldn't do it. Now notice, at that time it's impossible for those who are once for all enlightened, taste the heavenly gift, partake of the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God and the powers of the millennium and the New Jerusalem. Now, if that doesn't put you before a white throne and obligated, as this is the last hour, my brother, my sister, what am I preaching here for? I'm wasting my time. Except preaching for me, I hope my wife. I'll be honest with you. Now, I'm hot up here. Don't let you turn the heat down because people down there are cold. I should take my coat off. It's always made up, but it's nice and warm. And I'm cold-blooded to begin with. You put the heat in my feet, I'd like that. All right, look, it tells you right here. If they, having fallen away, they can never be renewed to repentance, and they put it through a second crucifixion. What kind of crucifixion is it to have Mariolatry? You know, they say, well, in my heart, I don't believe the stuff of the Pope, but I want to tell you, he's a great man, and boy, has he solved our problems. That's a lying sign and wonder. Because he hasn't done it. See, the system, as I told you the other day, was propagated by Gillette, the man that made the Gillette razor blade. Understand, he's a Jew. And he wanted one world system. And he said it can work like the postal system. I can send a letter to Shanghai, Timbuktu, London, you name it. And there's a central office and points that sees that letter gets there. I then can take all merchandise that is necessary and set up a system where people get what they need. It'll mean we have to subscribe as a world force as we do in a postal system. It means we got to get together. They've never been able to do it, but they'll do it under the Pope. And you'll sell your souls for it. Like the wise, like the rich young man that grew up to have his... I said, my barns can't contain the products that I'm raising. I'll build greater barns. Then he said, soul, eat and drink, take your ease. But it wasn't his soul that could eat and drink. It was his body. He misunderstood his body concept for the soul concept. So if you don't understand body, soul, and spirit, like Brother Branham taught it, you're on a limb. You understand what I said? You didn't get it. You heard people preaching wrong. I went down to Houston and told you. Man got confused. It's the spirit and body. preaching that part of that little seed is a female. How can it be if that's a part of God? God's not female, any part of him. And I'm not a male chauvinistic pig. I'm a believer in God's word vindicated by a prophet. The Spirit is not given to you by God. It's allowed to God. It's not of God. It's not from God. It's not of God. It's allowed to God. I understand body, soul, and spirit. I understand Melchizedek in these things. If you don't, you haven't got the deep truth of the Word of God. Right now, you're tasting the powers of those worlds. Oh, God help us. Is this above our heads? What's going on? I feel kind of like vomiting now. Not over you people. Don't think I'm saying that. I feel nauseated by my own lack, and I'm swimming in the head of it. It doesn't mean anything. That's just how I feel. We are not getting these things. There's too much playing around. There's no time to play around. Now listen. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that comes oft upon it. We're part of that earth. We're vessels. Well, how do you put it? This glory is in vessels that somehow many times don't reflect it. All right. Now, the rain cometh upon it. That's the word of God. And bring forth earth meat for them by whom is dressed. Receive a blessing, God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh to cursing whose end is burned. Now it says here that the same word of God that falls is very peculiar. And depending on the person. In the one place, it'll bring forth that which is blessed to God, and the other man will bring forth that which is cursed to God, the same word doing it. So if you didn't have a place for the word and the word here to begin with, it ain't going to do you nothing except make you go against God as as Cain did. Now this is not something you sit here and just say, oh, I'm over my head, I'll ask my husband. You better pay attention. Because I'm telling you the truth. I better pay attention to what I'm saying. Otherwise, I'm a liar and a hypocrite because I don't take the medicine a day show. I've never tried to give you something I can't take myself in the sense I'm going to turn it down and just say something nice so you'd be a liar. All right, listen. We're going to go back now. We're going to read a paragraph. 71 on page 15. Now, this is a parallel we brought you to. Now, paragraph 71, Brother Branham shows America joining with what she came out of, see, rebuilding the corrupt, totalitarian religious world government. So we're going to read it, and then we're going to read some excerpts. Now, just a minute, and watch just how this comes out, what he's talking about Israel and America. He's looking to the end time, Jezebel religion, how it developed, where it's going, what it's doing. Now we find out what they did and the things they did. We see it paralleling here just exactly, sin on every hand. Jezebel came in and bewitched all the people. Now, bewitched the people. The beast in the garden was a bewitcher. He bewitched Eve. The beast at the beginning found Eve naked. In innocence. She was perfectly naked, perfectly justified in being naked, because she was covered with the glory of God. God gave her the garment of the Word. Now, the word beast means a venomous, dangerous creature. Like the snake that bit Paul, is called a venomous beast. And this serpent was not creepy crawly. He was numbered amongst the beasts, but he wasn't a man. And you notice in Genesis 3, the Bible specifically said God created the birds and the beasts and the creepy crawly things. And the beast and the serpent was numbered with the beasts, not with the creepy crawlies. And yet he is branded in that respect because the snake hisses. And the word Nakash, which is what it comes from, means to hiss or whisper, to cast a magic spell, to foretell, to divine, to enchant, even to learn by experience, diligently observe. So Satan mixed the occult with the physical. What do you think the Pope's doing? And he pretended it was the Word of God. What do you think the churches are doing? They pretend it's the Word of God. They introduce everything they possibly can in order to come up with an intellectual understanding. So here's your missing link. Your missing link is not to worry about the physical, as to worry so much about the spiritual, the impact it has on the things of Almighty God. Now, Satan, therefore, combines instinct, then the beast did it, he combined instinct and reasoning, or what is inherent in nature, and used it according to the physical, and he cannot rise above it and go to the spiritual. There is no way you can do it. Now, the physical can't be spiritual, as in 1 Corinthians 15, it says there is a natural and there is a spiritual. And it only says concerning the one that's going to be in the first resurrection, and no doubt down the road after the second resurrection, that which is natural is first, and that which is spiritual, and he's talking about actual bodies. Now, this critter here positively combined everything he could in order to get away from the component of reality, which was truth. That's what he had in mind. He didn't care how he did it, but he was going to corrupt the truth, and thereby everything else would be corrupted, which is exactly what happened at that particular time. All right. You have a beast in the beginning and a naked woman, and at the end time, you have a beast at the end time here before the same tree of life that's been unveiled through the seven seals and the seven thunders, and you have the woman naked again. Now, what are you going to do about this condition? The normal clothing that Adam and Eve tried, by now combining their instincts and their intellects with nature, wouldn't do any good. Fig leaves didn't do. So God had to give a life, and from that life, he gave clothing. Now, from the life of Christ will come a clothing at the end time for this woman that's naked. Now, where is the life of Christ? It is in the Word. That's exactly where that life is. And that's that life where men crucified themselves, the Son of God, a fresh blood and rope and chain. That is that life in the Word that is clothing the bride today. But does the bride want it? She wants its truth, like Jacob wanted the birthright. He wanted the inheritance. Esau did not want it because he wasn't concerned about it. See? So at this end time, Jezebel bewitches the people, the same as the serpent bewitched Eve, and consequently she took over Adam. Now remember, Adam was her headship, but she turned Adam. That's exactly what you see today with Kennedy. It started way back there until right today Bush has actually acknowledged one world government, and he knows the Pope is going to have it, which positively destroys all sense of true Protestantism. Well, you got to understand, it's absolutely true. He bewitched the people. And notice, in her were the sorceries. The ability, by flattery, to win over people that he had no business winning over, because he's just the same as they are. But he's going to get his headship. Now, Jezebel came in and bewitched the people. And that's what religion does. And you go right today and you try to talk to a Catholic or a Protestant and try to show them the Word of God, they're just going to freeze up and you're going to go right, that's the church, that's it, I'm part of the church, that's it. They don't care about reality, they don't have any reality. It is a natural brute beast conception. In other words, they're the place where the serpent was, because it's a serpent race, they can combine anything they want and call it God, and they do call it God. Now notice, and finally Israel began to build big shrines to Baal. Is that right? And the Balaam priests flocked from every way to get to that place and began to contaminate the land with Balaam worship. Who's all running Jerome? We'll find out in a minute. Now, we're looking at a world government, is what we're looking at, because that's what Brother Branham is telling us. Now I'm going to do some reading to you here. In The Economist in September 1990, there is a flag on the front of it, which is called a new flag. And in there are the stripes of the American flag, but in the left-hand corner where the stars are, the stars are no longer according to the states, but there's 12 stars according to the economic community of Europe. Now, the American 12 with star, 12, American flag with 12 stars, European economy community replacing the stars of the states. Likewise, the World Press Review says, under the building of a new Europe, the Soviet and the United States flag are shown with all other European flags. And this is almost unbelievable because America was the bastion of Christianity, where the light came at the end time. Indeed, the now positionless former head of the German Lothar de Maizière puts it in apocalyptic terms. I believe we can now overcome the division of Europe so that Europe's European states together with North American democracies can meet the challenge of the third millennium. Now, they've already said it. We're set for the next 1,000 years. Now, who's doing the setting? Now, let's find out. Here's what Runcie says, the former archbishop. I think they got a new one since Runcie, Archbishop of Canterbury. It gravely impairs our ability to reclaim for Christ's gospel a continent which is fast losing its Christian soul. Now, he tells you here we don't have the ability, it doesn't look like, to reclaim Christianity. We cannot discover European unity without reappropriating Europe's Christian roots. In the past, Christian faith gave unity and coherence to culture and society. Listen to this jerk. Christian disunity has also contributed largely to the disunity of Europe and the wider world. Could not all Christians come to reconsider the kind of primacy the Bishop of Rome exercised within the early church, a presiding love for the sake of unity? Well, when they threw you in bags of snakes and threw you in the water, they put you upon rafts and the maiden, they put you in where spikes could get you, and they tore you to pieces, ripped up the women and children, and they poured boiling oil on you and burned you. If that's Christian love, you can have it. What is this complete jackass telling the people? Why, Catholicism never did it. Oh, no. Why? We never did it. He listened to that same outfit in Texas where the Catholic priest said, "You Protestants killed us. And we're tired of hearing about it. We're supposed to kill you. We didn't do it. You killed us." Do you understand what I'm saying? It's over. Amen. You can't tell a person gold is gold, silver, silver, pink is pink, and red is pink. It's no longer. That love is love and hate is hate. That God is God, the devil's the devil. You can't tell them any longer. It's over. There is no description since they turned down the word. Come on. Let's go back to Hebrews 6. You think I'm a hate monger or something. I don't know. I don't think you'd read that here. But I'll tell you, I can't stand this stuff going on. I wasn't meant to stand, don't intend to. Now listen. They were enlightened once for all. What kind of enlightenment could that be? The same as Paul's or forget it. They taste the heavenly gift. What was the heavenly gift? Christ himself came down, became a human being. Now in the last day, he comes back in the form of the Holy Spirit to do the same thing. Partake of the Holy Ghost. Anointing upon everybody and anybody. Taste the good word of God. They saw it there. They partook of it. Saw the whole thing laid out. The powers of the world to come, and they fall away. Now, that's what we're looking at. All right, here's what Bush says. No peaceful international order is possible if larger states can devour their smaller neighbors. Clearly, no longer can a dictator count on East-West confrontation to stymie concerted United Nations action against aggression. A new partnership of nations has begun. And we stand today at a unique and extraordinary moment. The crisis in the Persian Gulf, as grave as it is, also offers a rare opportunity to move toward an historic period of cooperation. Out of these troubled times, our fifth objective, a new world order can emerge, a new era freer from the threat of terror, stronger in the pursuit of justice, and more secure in the quest of peace. An era in which nations of the world, east, west, north, south, can prosper and live in harmony. 100 generations have searched for this elusive path of peace. 4,000 years, he tells. While 1,000 wars ranged across the span of human endeavor. And today that new world is struggling to be born. A world quite different from the one we've known. A world where the rule of law supplements, supplants the rule of the jungle. going to be the same lousy ruler of the jungle. I'll eat you before you eat me. A world in which nations recognize the shared responsibility for freedom and justice. A world where the strong respects of the rights of the weak. This crisis is the first assault on the new world we seek. Right there he says, this war in the East is starting. This is the crisis. This puts us on the right path. We're going to crush that bird right there. Now watch them compromise. Israel knows they're at the brunt of it. You say, what's Israel going to do? I hope they muster up everything they have and wipe out Syria and Iraq and the whole bunch with one big bomb. But I don't know what they're going to do. You know why? Even now they can't afford world peace. Has anybody here dying today because you can't afford what your relatives say or somebody else says? They're telling you to drop dead. Why don't you just reverse it? Why don't you say what Jesus said? Don't worry about me. You worry about yourself. If I'm crazy, let me be. If I'm crazy, you can't do anything with me. Here's what James Baker says. I think we stand at a critical juncture in history. The Iraqi invasion of Kuwait is one of the defining moments of the new era. A new era full of promise, but also one that is replete with new changes. We are entering an era in which ethnic and sectarian identities could easily breed new violence and conflict. It is an era in which new hostilities and threats could erupt as misguided leaders are tempted to assert regional dominance before the ground rules of a new order can be accepted. Why, he said, we're working on it. Why don't you jerks just shut up and let us work it out? Why do you got to rise up with sectarian and ethical principles? Leave all that to us. That's what the fox said to the chickens when Henny Penny got hit with a acorn. And she said, the world has fallen in, and the turkeys and the geese and everybody came running. And Foxy Locke, she said, hey, he said, I know just the place for you. And it was in his den. Newsweek, while vacationing in Maine, the president had more on his mind than his immediate problems in the Persian Gulf. As George Bush fished and gulped and pondered the post-Cold War in Maine last month, his aides say that he began to imagine a new order. It is a vision that would have chilled John Foster Dulles to the marrow. The United States and the Soviet Union united for crisis management around the globe. New York Times, when the president further defined this vision for the American people in an address to the Joint House of Congress, he said, as you know, I've just returned from a very productive meeting with Soviet President Gorbachev, and I'm pleased that we are working together to build a new relationship. A new partnership of nations has begun. And we stand today at a unique and extraordinary moment. The crisis in the Persian Gulf, as grave as it is, also offers a rare opportunity to move toward an historic period of cooperation. Out of these troubled times, our fifth objective, a new world order, see, that's grace, fifth, can emerge a new era, freer from the threat of terror, stronger in the pursuit of justice, and more secure in the quest of peace. An era in which all nations of the world, East, West, can prosper together. 100 and so, he goes on and says the same thing. Now, world quite different from one we know. A world where law will supplement the jungle rules and so on. Okay, Time Magazine. The Bush administration would like to make the UN a cornerstone of its plans to construct a new world war order. The concept of new world is not a new one. However, the incredible opportunity to supplement it is. And here's what is said by, I think it's Bush or somebody about Bush. Saddam's power grab and the U.S.-led opposition to it have so shaken up global political power calculations that the world will never be the same. That's right. Bush and his aides talked about the showdown leading to a new world order. If the nations of the world acting together continue as they have been, we will put in place the cornerstone of an international order more peaceful than what we have ever known, said Bush in Helsinki. And Dick Cheney says, I think we're clearly writing a new chapter of history in the 20th century. That's what the Time Magazine said. Let's get over here. Here's the New York Daily News. Hobbled by record consumer, corporate, and government debt, the U.S. economy is sputtering into recession that some experts say could be more dangerous than any that we've endured in the last 60 years. That's what they're afraid of. The economic upheaval has already started. Home prices have plunged 25% to 30% from peaks seen locally just 3 years ago. Bankruptcy hit some of the nation's best-known retail chains. Started quite a way back when Grants lost billions of dollars. Troubled by bad real estate loans and other big debt deals, Chase Manhattan Bank, the Bank of the Rockefellers, the nation's second largest bank, was forced to offer bonds yielding as much as some junk bonds to take your money out of there. The Dow Jones Industrial Average also plunged 500 points, about 16% the last 2 months, and the bear market broke out. Then there's Iraq and its impact on oil. It used to be that the economic forecasters of gloom and doom could be dismissed as quacks trying to sell books by exploiting people's worst fears. But those raising warning flags are not professional doomsayers. Their ranks include respected economists and Wall Street money managers who have been increasingly concerned with the fate of the nation's debt-ridden economy. Jay Forrester, 70-year-old professor emeritus, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, Sloan School of Management, who has spent the last 20 years studying troubled economics, says the nation has entered the final stage in a 45 to 60-year economic cycle called the long wait. He has traced the end of these cycles back to 1930s, 1990s, 1930s. One is 61's 40. And each ended in a Great Depression. Easy credit, which makes things happy and favorable to in the short term, allowed us to live beyond our means, leaves us now with excessive debt. The standard of living will have to be lowered in order to pay it back. That was the New York Daily. All right, over here, the New World, the U.S. News and World Report. But now President Bush appears to have rushed off to the Persian Gulf without checking his wallet. Last week, as Secretary of State James Baker and Treasury Secretary Nicholas Brady began circling the globe to solicit funds for what one senator called a United Way campaign, the cost of Bush's anti-Iraq strategy continued to mount. Republican political analyst Kevin Phillips has said that the economics of the crisis is the Achilles heel of the administration. This is his imperial behavior without the imperial checkbook. That's right. Okay, New York Times. In the apparent change from more than 10 years of American efforts to limit Soviet participation in peace efforts, Mr. Bush invited to Moscow, played a greater diplomatic role in the region, and agreed to consider working with the Soviet Union on problems like the Arab-Israeli conflict. The initiative, which also has the backing of France and Portugal, was originally born of growing concern that economic problems and population pressure in North America would continue to stimulate large-scale immigration to the countries of Southern Europe. Now, they're worried. But the Gulf crisis has reminded us how, despite the end of the East-West confrontation, the North-South issue remains fundamental if we are to build a new international order, says Foreign Minister Gianni De Michelis, that'd be Italian. Underlining the model for the new organization, the plan was unveiled at a meeting in Palma de Mallorca, organized by 35-nation Conference on Security and Cooperation of Europe. So far, preparation for a conference on security and cooperation in the Mediterranean have involved Spain, Italy, Portugal, France, Europe, Morocco, Tunisia, Algeria, Libya, Mauritania, and North Africa. No. But the plan is that it eventually will embrace other nations in Europe, Middle East, as well as the United States Soviet Union. Mr. DeMichelis said that both Israel and Palestine Liberation Organization would be invited to take part. That's the time, eh? Recognizing the possibility of an Israeli boycott, he noted that the Helsinki process operated well despite the absence of one country, Albania. Spanish officials said that the purpose of the conference is not to resolve specific disputes in the region, but rather to establish a broad code of conduct covering a variety of problems, from the inviolability of borders and democracy development and economic development. All right. What we read here is what's going on, documented in America, how we're coming to a United Nations system, and notice it is headed by a religious man, a holy man, though self-proclaimed, I am not dealing in morals, I am not essentially spiritual, but I'm going to bring Mary Ford and put her on the throne. She's up there for that purpose. But he said, I am a geopolitician. In other words, exactly what we're looking at. Geopolitics has to do with nations, interrelationships, economics, all of those things. Now he said, I am a geopolitical person, but I am religious. So he's going to bamboozle the world into the top position of the great dictator of the ages starting very, very soon. And they think it's going to last 1,000 years. And the Catholic Church has said, we will bring in the millennium. We will bring Christ here. But the last pope's going to stand up and say, I am it. I'm Christ. You better worship me. He's already said he was, because he's sitting in the temple of God claiming he is God. Sitting right amidst the whole church. Sits right here amongst the bride of Christ, everything else, and yet because it's universal. And he said, you better look to me because I'm the one that's going to do it. Now, we're going to go back to paragraph 72. Look how they've done it. See? Look how they weeded in. In other words, the corrupt Laodicean church. Look where it is. Look what's happened. Just the things they've done. Look where they're at today. Look at Catholicism swallowing up, swallowing up, swallowing up. Now, they're swallowing up. Now, he mentions marrying into, breaking this, just what Daniel said they do. Iron and clay wouldn't mix, but mingling their seeds one with another, breaking. And now, what is what he says about mingling seeds? Every Protestant girl marries a Catholic boy, has to raise her children Catholic. All like that. Marrying, intermingling. Like that until it comes to place, till the whole United States is all wormed over. Now, he said, here's what happened. Women have voted. Pentecostals voted. They voted Democrat. They brought in John Kennedy. He is absolutely Roman Catholic. Say what he wants. The controlling power behind that is the Vision Brother Branham head, which is Mary, the head of the Roman Catholic Church, because they've now made her absolutely equal to Christ. They have put her in an adversarial position to Christ. And they started very innocently saying, well, she had power with him. She's got power now. And the next thing you're going to find, she's superior to him. So she says to him, and the Catholic Church worships her, now listen, Mary, you say to him, you get out of the way, boy, and let all those Catholics in, Protestant with them. And they've got you tagged. If you are truly geopolitical with a proper understanding and a spirit of welfare and love toward your fellow man, and you endorse this, you've got it made. Now you're in the millennium. Satan's Eve. Just where he wants it. Now remember, Roman Catholics devised the Trinitarian baptism. They admit it. But will the Protestants admit it? No, they will not. Brother Branham categorically said, thus saith the Lord. No matter how you've been baptized, outside the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you must be rebaptized. Why? Because you've been baptized either into oneness, which is fallacious, or into threeness, which is fallacious, and you have not been correctly baptized. See, and there's also a lot of talk that back there in Matthew, Luke, Matthew 28, absolutely, that's not in the original. And there's no place in the Bible where anybody ever baptized outside the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, watch what Brother Branham said about this great missionary empire of ours, this great nation. What are we going to do as a missionary nation, going out yonder to liberate South America and all over the world? Tommy Osborne and those trying to get the people out of that paganism, and they can point their finger right back that we elected our leader and have the same thing. Why, they say you've got a Catholic. What are you talking about? See, what are you talking about? What's going to happen to this world? It should shake every person in here. Now, he's talking to Pentecostal. How are we going to answer? What's a missionary going to say when they say, you come here to liberate us from this, and your own people put the same thing in your office there on the throne? No wonder he said, I don't pray for America, and this is a white throne. But he couldn't say anything else. You see? This event, Brother Branham's ministry, was actually destroyed by America putting a Roman Catholic in the White House. And because it's Balaamism. And when you turn to it, you have turned from God. I know people say that isn't so. I don't care what they say. You see, Satan's Eden and your part in it is going to your reasoning. Say, well, that can't be so. Well, it is so. The prophet said so. And he's not fooling. And if you think it isn't so back in 60, what about today? See, it already shows you 30 years later. See? It destroyed the remarkable, manifested, vindicated Word of God that Elijah brought, William Branham, the same as that there. When Elijah had his showdown, I want to ask you a question. Did anybody change other than 7,000? No. They gave it a little lip service and then passed right on. Had it done one thing, it would have turned Israel around. They would not have gone into captivity. See, from captivity to captivity. Because they don't recognize the freedom giver. They don't recognize the Prince of Peace. 74. Look back in the page of history. Turn back and see. Now watch. If it's absolutely, almost unconstitutional for it to be. Now, Brother Branham stops right there. He said it's almost absolutely unconstitutional. Why? Because what they had in mind was to break the papal yoke and all interference from the outside once and for all. But they didn't put it all in writing like that. They left a loophole by not saying it. So what happens? The Catholics come over. And they take strong advantage of every single thing that can turn the Constitution into an instrument that says, not only is the state separate from religion, but the state now can deny religion in preference one for another. And now that's how the state started. They did not want Catholicism and its power. But you want to read the Catholic books, they'll tell you when the Pilgrim Fathers came over here to escape the despotic heads of Europe because they didn't like the government of the kings. They brought Catholic priests around along to teach them religion. That's what your books say. They've been down there in Florida for years. They don't mind telling a lie. They don't mind disbelieving the truth. If you disbelieve the truth, you will tell a lie. What do you think? Come on. The chicken lays eggs, fertilized or unfertilized. Take your pick. You're going to lay eggs. They'll lay unfertilized eggs. See? Now, they wouldn't do it years ago. But see, we've sold out Christian rights to politics. And that's how the devil's weaving himself in. Ahab was nothing but a figurehead for Jezebel. See? Now, the church and the state separated. So, therefore, it is wrong, as it's been wrong for former presidents and now for President Bush, to have an audience with the Pope. Because now he says, Protestantism is out. Catholicism is in. Now I ask you a question. Under the present situation, having rejected the Word, crucified the Son of God himself and turned it down, do you think America gives one hoop in a hoop? Why, the Catholics got like shooting fish in a barrel. Gone. They sold out for a dollar. Started with Roosevelt. Give us a city. He was amoral. He had nothing. Great politician, though. So is the devil. You want a politician? The devil's a politician. See? And now, since Kennedy then, every president has gone more and more to the other side. Now, Ahab was a figurehead for Jezebel. That's all this will be, just a figurehead. He won't do it himself, but that system behind him will drive him to it. They've got their toehold in. They had him completely. You don't think they had Johnson? Come on, he'd sell his mother out. That's about a filthy man ever lived. I don't know if they can pin him down to murder or not, but you read the books about Stevens and some of those. I've read them, and I forget what it says. But they pin him down for murder. And every crooked thing under high heaven. Completely diabolical man. See? And then they got mad at Nixon because somebody, he didn't do it, but some of his stupid cohorts wanted to see what the Democrats were doing. Kennedy didn't back away when they proved he had stolen votes up there in Chicago. Rigged ballot boxes. Couldn't care two bits for anything. Completely amoral. Wanted two women in bed with him. That's your nation. And the nation identified. Like those poor black people up in New York. Not everybody, but some of them. They identified with Clayton Powell. Sent him right back into power. Because they identified. They never had anything, so they identified with him. Don't think black people alone do it. Yellow, green, pink, white, orange will do it. They'll identify. Why not identify with Christ the Lord in Nazarene? The prophet of God. Why not identify there with the Word of God? Never mind this other stuff. It's all down the drain anyway. You got to identify with something. People will identify. And that's the secret of the gospel. Identification. They identify with their father. Identify with their seed. All right. He won't do it himself. The system behind him will drive him to it. Exactly right. Pinch your conscience, you Christians. They got no conscience to pick. Like Esau's too late. You can't turn it around. I don't care if Billy Graham was president. Every president goes in there. He's going to do something. He does nothing. That make things work. Wake yourself up as they and you think the condition we're in. Condition that they were in. Same thing. And how they let themselves get loose. See? No president in the last many years has refused an audience with the Pope. They're anxious. Desperately anxious. To get the blessing of a fraud. They want to pick up the counterfeit coins of the kingdom. When you begin dealing in counterfeit, I don't care who made it, you're stuck with the penalty. You try to pass a $10 bill, even though somebody else made it, and you're unaware. Go to a bank. Boy, they'll ring the buzzer and say, where did you get this? And they put the finger on you in case you got more. So go ahead, take the counterfeit. That's your business. You want to do it. 75. How the great law-loving heart of God must have cried out in weeping as he saw his missionary people. That's us, just like Israel. Made them an example, all nations everywhere, because God had blessed them, seeing them in unity. 50 states in unity. Spiritually serving God. And then to think that he longed to see them come back to their first love and do what's right. But continually they went away and away and away till finally Jezebel came in. Right? That's exactly what we did. Drifted from the principles of Christ. Now remember, leaving the principles of Christ. There's a way you can do that scripture, a way you can't do it otherwise. When God sent his ministers across the nation, they preached holiness, pilgrimage, Nazarene, Pentecostal. Get back to God. Get back to God. Of course, if they did it, Brother Branham did it much more. The Queen of Sheba came to Solomon. She said, the half was not told me. And he said, a greater than Solomon's here. They thought talking about William Branham. He talked about Christ in the form of the Holy Ghost, going way back even to Elohim. Never mind just the manifestation. 76. And the real old times established churches just laughed and made fun of these men that went across America. See? A lot of these modernistic believers, why? They condemned everything that those men did and said it was of the devil. What did it do? The church began to listen to it. The majority began to listen. First thing you know, if a Catholic woman could wear these kinds of things, a Protestant could too. The Catholic church would do this, a Protestant could too. The Methodist could do it, then the Baptist. The Baptist could do it. What about the Pentecostals? You see, what happened is the big thing was the church took place at the place of Christ the Word. Everyone became a collaborator. They became a collaborator without knowing they compromised themselves in the Word, but they did it. See? Now the Catholic Church said, we'll give you pay indulgences. You go ahead, we'll pay, and your sins are covered. What does a Protestant church say? Says the same thing. You come and join us, you got it covered. There's no church here to join. You can come here and listen all you want, but there's no place to join anything. You're going to support it. You can be in and hear it. You can be in fellowship. You can be actually a part of it. But there's no such thing as an organization. We have one thing here is the Word. That's at this pulpit right in our documented order of our Constitution. There's one purpose, this message that Brother Branham preached. Now, if I preach it wrong, that's my fault. Our Constitution, everything we say stands with the Word of God. 77. See what man-made systems bring you into. Hallelujah, that's true. That's the reason I'm against it, because God's Word is against it. See, man-made system starts with reasoning and physical forces, which it should deny, and go straight to the Word of God. Here's Moses at the Red Sea. Now, you can't get across the Red Sea. There's no boats. Here's Pharaoh's army. We're dumped. Everything looks like a trick and a plot of God. Maybe before it's over, you and I will be thinking we've been dumped by God. Is this a plot? Has God taken a few people out here to dump us? Every single part of their reasoning was against it. And Moses said, I don't care two bits what anybody thinks. He said, stand still. Even Moses got a bit shaken. God, stand still. You're going to see the glory of God. Brother Branham's prophesied. He doesn't have to be here doing anything else. People want this guy to rise up, that guy to rise up. Brother Brown, come back. When he does come back, I really believe it's going to be too late no matter what he does. It'll be all right for you and me, but too late for the rest of them, see? Now, listen. Man-made system. God's against it. His Word is against it. Prophets will be against it. His true servants will be against it. All that's born of the Spirit will be against what? Man-made systems, which start with what? Leaving the Word of God for some reason, which is usually a physical reason, as with Israel, which is their bodies and their finances. People do it, and they say, well, look, this isn't working. What's the use? So they leave it, and they turn to their own, and it's all over. If we really believe, we're back to God and His Word. That's all we need to stick with. I don't care if anything else in manifestation. I love it all if it's of God, but I am going to stick with the first principles. It took a chicken to lay an egg. It took God to do this. I'm going to stick with God and His Word. Let's rise to be dismissed. Naomi, you want to come up here? We'll pray for you before we go. This may not sound like much of a sermon to, you know, to base healing on, but Brother Bannon said, you take this message for healing. And we believe this is the Word of God. So, we pray for us here. That's helpful. Heavenly Father, in the presence of yourself here, knowing you're here by your Holy Spirit in this people,
claim the word of the living God, you use our sister Bonnie, that your will be done with God. And she needs her living name and also to be a perfect rest of these words. Because we know how we can walk in where it does happen, Lord. We thank you for your grace and mercy. As we bend our hearts and minds to get this and ask from the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Permission to leave God. All right. Take the name of Jesus with you.